meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. But don't worry, Dr. Bruce is a board-certified physician. He's an addiction medicine specialist. He's an ER specialist. He also is a specialist in removing tattoos with lasers, dermabrasion, all the stuff the kiddies are into. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Bruce.
Thank you.
Want to turn his mic on?
It's on.
Yeah. No, something's on. Something's wrong.
Unacceptable.
There we go.
All right.
Tom Kenny is here tonight. Tom is, of course, the voice of SpongeBob and about 1,000 other voices. Tom is one of the funnier guys you're ever going to meet. I will say that. Well, no, not meet. I'll say work with. Because I don't know how funny he is hanging out, but I did get a chance to see him work doing a... Is your mic working?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah. Is it working?
How about mine?
Now?
You want to move over here?
No.
We
no,
should
no.
share one. Yeah. I'm loud. I can be out in the parking lot.
Yeah. All right. We'll try your
turn SpongeBob again. Down, please.
Turn SpongeBob down.
If I had a nickel for every time I've heard that.
And turn Bruce up.
Turn me up.
It's all the way up. It's
broken. All right.
Wow.
Oh, it's broken?
Yeah.
I can feel for Bruce.
All right.
We I've had anal sex anyway. And I passed out a couple times.
All right. Well, it so, works for that.
How quickly we thought on our feet there.
All right. Anyway, Tom, good to see you.
Good to see you, Adam.
Bruce, you want to try that mic?
Yeah. Hey, can SpongeBob say hi to my 5 and 8-year-old? It's my 8-year-old's birthday tonight.
Yeah, but he has to say something horribly demonic.
I just...
It's a command. That
God makes. Forbid they're actually listening, but my...
Worship the cloven-hoofed prince of darkness.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You know, Paramount wanted me to come on this show when the movie came out, and I said, do you guys really... Because I know there's no way to go on Love Lines and not talk dirty as SpongeBob, and then you guys will be mad at me, and you guys are the ones trying to book me on the show as part of your PR blitz.
Right.
That's the real evil.
No, I would not force you to say, you know, say anything bad in a SpongeBob voice unless you're talking to Bruce's children, yeah, in which right. case.
My 5-year-old, I swear to God, he drank a Pepsi and he said, Dad, I'm going to drink a Pepsi so I can stay up and listen to SpongeBob.
Wow. Time for the addiction specialist dad to step in.
Yeah,
that's
a little
Pepsi
bit.
Is a gateway drug.
Is SpongeBob SquarePants the biggest cartoon ever?
Oh.
I mean, I know you don't want to. You don't want to say that, Tom.
Biggest maybe, one I've ever done.
Maybe you don't know that, but I mean, is it?
It's huge. And, you know, a lot of it is the parents like it as much more than the
right.
kids. It's like, hey, you know, kids, there's a new episode coming out. You want to, you know,
yeah.
it's Friday night. So.
No, I know. I talk to my friends who are parents, and they really get into it, which is did not hold true for the cartoons we enjoyed watching. Like, there's no way my dad's like, hey, is that Grape Ape coming on?
Yeah, no
when's,
way.
When's McGill and Gorilla coming on? Or how about Kimba the White Lion? That's a fantastic program.
My dad hated everything that I liked as a kid, and I so wanted to, you know, like, my dad would come in, and we'd be watching Green Acres or something like that, and he would come in and go, is this still on? It's like, yeah, Dad, yeah. It's on from 8 to 8:30. It's a half-hour show. He'd come in 5 minutes later, is this still on? Jesus.
Well, right. cartoons.
Half-hour, Dad.
Right, yeah. Right.
The kids yeah. love it, and then all you have some marketing genius there too. Last week, my 5-year-old wouldn't leave Target without the $38 season 2.
Oh, honestly.
Hey, I like that.
Oh, I'm sure you
I
do.
Like your. Yeah. Our plan is working.
Hey. Now, Tom, how many seasons is it for you of SpongeBob SquarePants? 4 or 5?
Yeah, something like that. You know, it's hard because there's a new season airing now, but there was close to a 2-year gap between this current season and the previous one while they worked on the movie. So I don't really know. I sort of just go in, and then sometimes the gate is locked and we don't record.
I know you're going to be modest here, but obviously it seems like you could just call out your price and they'll back the Brinks truck up to your home. I mean, if you think about what makes a character successful. Obviously, animation has something to do with it, but the voice, the inflection, the acting, the ability to act. I'm guessing, too, that a lot of that stuff is your creation. I mean, I know you. I know you're a creative guy. I know you have great improvisational instincts. It can't all just be on the script. There's got to be a lot of stuff that you bring to it.
Well, you know, it's really collaborative. A lot of it was on the page from the first time that we came in, because the creator, Steve Hillenburg, had it so well worked out before, you know, before anybody even came in to record. It was like J.R.R. Tolkien or something. Like he had everything, and like, you know, beautiful oil paintings of SpongeBob's pineapple house. You know, he really did his homework. But he's also very charitable about letting us mess around and find where the funny stuff is.
Did you go in and just try out for it? Did they have other guys? Was John Lovitz in there before you came in there? Gilbert Godfrey? You know what I mean? Because it's... There's
what do you think of this voice? This is different from what I usually do. I'm squinting. Can you see the squint on Mike?
No, but it's always awesome when you find out that they wanted Robert Redford to play the part that Harrison Ford took in the first Star Wars or some nonsense. Not true, but you know, whenever you hear these things, it's always, and that's always,
well,
immediate,
they wanted
like,
Redford
oh,
for SpongeBob.
Oh, that's
well,
what
they
I'm
did.
Saying, yeah.
And he was busy with his little film festival he puts on. But
no, did they have other people in mind? Did they have you in mind? How did it
well,
work?
I've done hundreds of cartoons. You know, like if you Google me, it's frightening. But of all those cartoons, SpongeBob is the only one that I didn't have to audition for.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because
wow,
nice. The creator was just like, this is the guy, you know, this guy's funny. I don't want to hear anybody else. And yeah, it was very cool.
And can you? So I guess my question is, and I know you're
going to
be.
Are you going back to the Brinks truck?
Yeah.
Because you don't understand that on the show business ladder, cartoon voiceover guys are neck and neck with the guy who sets up the tilt-a-whirl at the carnival.
No, I know. The guy wears a jumpsuit unzipped to his navel with no undershirt. That instills confidence. He's smoking the Winstons. He's looking over his shoulder all the time.
The guy with the Harley shirt and the three teeth going, you look like a winner, sir. I do? Thanks, pal.
I know, because I do a fair amount of voiceover work myself. And it's much, you know, they want to give you a scale. For the most part, and I'm sure Tom gets a hell of a lot more than that, but there are instances like in The Simpsons who the cast was able to unite and sort of step up and realize they had a bona fide hit here and start getting a payday, and why not? I mean, when the cast of, you know, Friends is getting a million plus an episode, and you have another long-running hit, why not get a payday?
Adam, I'm scribbling down my agent's number. Could
Please.
You call her tomorrow and give her this rap? Well, you know, it's there. I mean, I'm basic cable all the way.
I
don't know what primetime network is like.
I understand. But
zillions,
the,
I'm sure.
The merchandising has to be just a multi-million dollar enterprise. And you didn't design SpongeBob. And
no,
you didn't
I did
design
not create it.
The sets, but you do have a hand in shaping him via your voice and your inflection.
Yeah,
and,
along with writers and storyboard guys Steve
Hillenburg. They should get a taste, too. Here's all I'm saying. First off, do they have... what if something happened to you? What if...
Now he sounds like my State Farm insurance guy. Tom, what if an untoward accident were? What if you were to be suddenly decapitated while driving to one of your voiceover sessions?
I know.
A steel beam goes right through your throat.
You're yawning and an I-beam comes swinging down from a gantry crane and actually goes through the back of your soft palate.
SpongeBob is going to be sounding a little different this season. I have to hold this wand to my throat.
Well, all I'm saying, well, first off, I always tell my insurance agent, it's like, in the unlikely event, you're not there. Hey, if I'm dead, kiss my ass. I don't care. What do you think? What else do you want me to worry about when I'm dead?
Yeah.
For the love of Christ, she's killing me now.
I don't want my kids to become these Hollywood wastrels that run their cars into trees and, you know.
Do you understand when I'm dead, everyone is dead in my mind? You're only alive because I'm here to see it through my eyes when I'm dead. The insurance guy, you're dead.
That is very deep.
Yes, nothing exists anymore. What do I care? For all I know, you guys are all just here to round out my life.
It's not my job to provide for you after my death.
I know.
My job is up. My working days are over. I'm taking the big vacation.
I know. Just please. Sign, here's what you do. Sign up for the Neptune Society. So it only costs a couple $100 to put me in the Pacific, and then keep the rest of the cash.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
I like the thing, too, where no one's ever supposed to ever work another day of their life. It's like, sure, there's enough to see, you know, live lavishly for about 25, 30 years, but then what?
Then what?
Someone's going to have to get a job eventually, I'm guessing.
People maybe, have a tendency not to think past their 95th year, Adam.
Maybe not my wife, maybe not her kids or her kids' kids, but eventually someone's going to have to get a gig.
God forbid.
What?
It's like the royal family. You know?
What's going to happen if you pass on 300-400 years from now? People got to make ends meet. All right, so, but here's what I'm saying, Bob. First off, who could, I just called him Bob. Who?
That's sponge to you.
Who is there, do you think, because you know there's some bastard that's practicing the voice right
now.
No
question.
No question.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are suits that are gone that would like you to know that there's plenty of guys who can do squeaky voices and go,
Right, right. Now, they're going to be like, yeah, remember the Partridge Family? When the blonde kid took a, when the brunette kid took a powder and they got the cute blonde kid? No one batted an eye.
You know, when
be no different for you, Tom.
When Tattoo asked for too much money on Fantasy Island,
Gone.
There was a line of midgets around the block going, hey, give me the job. I want it.
Right.
So, I'll do it for $500,000 a week.
But do you think, and see, obviously, the people could do the voice. A handful of people could do the voice, but I don't think they could do all the other things. Kids would know, right?
You know,
kids would know.
That's very nice of you to say, and I appreciate it. But you know, kids do know, and it's very funny. Like we know the difference between the two Fred Flintstones,
right?
Right. Even though the guy that Henry Corden that recently passed away a couple of, in the last few weeks or month was Fred for much longer than Alan Reed was Fred.
Yeah.
You know, but Alan Reed is Fred. And as a kid, you could always tell the difference. And even though Mel Blanc did two distinct Barney voices, remember he did the sort of, hey, Fred, sort of voice the first season? Hey, Fred.
Right.
Hey, Fred. They were both Mel Blanc.
Right.
But
that's
it was weird for you to hear Barney speaking in two voices, not the dinosaur or the caveman.
By the way, you give that speech to the executives over at Nickelodeon, and they're going to be like, all right, scale and a half.
Right before they press the ejector seat button that shoots you through the roof of the studio.
So all I'm saying is I wonder, I mean, I just feel
how
like
how far can I push
yes,
this, Adam?
I feel like you're a huge part of the success of the character, and you should be adequately compensated. That's all I'm saying.
This
about
is like
you.
A honeymooners episode.
Yeah. That's all I'm
That's
saying.
That's it, Alice. I'm going to ask for a raise.
That's right.
I'm going to go in there tomorrow.
That's right. Cut to Tom on my sofa. I think I get you some work. Can you put primer on? How are you with primer?
Living in a cardboard box under a bridge.
Does all the sounds. All right, I wish I could do anything.
I only
other
get paid
than
if it
voice.
Talks.
Yeah, but
you know, if it's SpongeBob panties, I don't get paid. If they're talking panties, I get paid.
But the deal is that you should be able to ride this one into the grave, right?
I hope so.
I know we're getting morbid here, but I mean, there's no reason why this train won't keep rolling for years and years and years, right? It's not really like a sitcom or even a drama in that there's a sort of arc and a swing and then it sort of just burns out. There's a natural life expectancy. This could go on as long as there's television.
Well, maybe it's hard to track, you know, because I've been giving it, I was telling the doctor before we went on the air, I've been giving it 6 months for 4 years. Oh,
right.
Boy, another 6 months. And now the new season is getting higher ratings than in the history of the show, which is just incredible to me. So, you know, on the other hand, I know a lot of guys that used to be Smurfs and Ninja Turtles back in the day. But everything's on the 20-year plan, you know what I mean? Like, Strawberry Shortcake is huge again with little girls. She's huge. Yeah, she's really let herself go. Oh my! Have you seen Strawberry? She's been eating her namesake.
Well, yeah. I mean, when your name is Strawberry, when the name Shortcake is right in your name, you know what I mean? Yeah, unless your name was John Corndog, people expect you to have a big ass.
A strawberry fat ass just isn't catchy enough.
Well, let's do a little plug-in. And, you know, I'm just, like I said, Tom, I'm looking out for
you.
I'm a big fan.
You're much more of a businessman than I am. I have the business sense of, like, a 20s blues singer. I took the Blind Lemon Jefferson, course in financial acumen.
All I'm saying is if sometimes there's just not enough money to go around. But if other people are making money, you should be able to wet your beak. That's all I'm saying.
Cool.
All right.
My beak?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is this Lucha Vavoom?
Yeah, I guess we are plugging Lucha Vavoom.
Which is the 29th and the 30th, which is tomorrow.
Wednesday and Thursday.
Wednesday and Thursday.
At the Mayan Theater downtown. Have you been to a Lucha Vavoom
show yet? No, I have not.
It's the craziest, coolest, weirdest show.
It's got Mexican wrestling from the 50s and burlesque and comedy. But is the comedy throwback comedy kind of stuff too, or guys?
You know, it's me. You know, it's like you said, masked Mexican wrestling, which is real. Mm-hmm. You know, they're real Mexican wrestlers. Most of them come in from Mexico City, and mm-hmm. the big guys in that Mil Máscaras, who's in his 60s, and is like the Babe Ruth of Mexican wrestling is going to be there, and you know there's many. it's the house that Mil Máscaras built is the Mayan Theater, but so there's those guys, and that's all real, mm-hmm. and then there's really good burlesque dancers in between the matches,
right?
And then there's just kind of wise guy comics like me and Blaine Kapach, you know, mm-hmm. him, and Patton Oswalt stops by occasionally. I think Bobcat is going to swing by mm-hmm. one of the nights and fart around with us.
And is it, where's the comedy done from?
You know, you're kind of on a raised dais above the mm-hmm. the wrestling ring, and you're just kind of cracking wise during the matches.
Commentating during the matches,
like Mystery Science Theater sort of a feel. And it's kind of weird because, you know, a lot of the wrestlers are a bit English challenged. They're not real confident with their English skills.
Well, even American wrestlers don't speak good English.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. There's not a lot of Mensa members grappling. But you think that they can't hear you. You know, they're just sort of there and they're throwing each other around and banging each other on the head with chairs and anything else that isn't nailed down. And you're just cracking wise. And then the last time we did it, one of the big scary guys, this big wrestler named Dr. Wagner. I don't know what that means in Spanish.
Mexican wrestler?
Named Dr. Wagner. I don't know what is that. Do you know him? You're a doctor. Have you guys crossed paths?
Haven't made his acquaintance.
Wow.
But he came after us. Totally unplanned. Like, shut up! Shut up! I said shut up! And climbed up to us and grabbed the other comedian. And, you know, me, of course, like the craven coward I am. You know, I just fled the scene while the other guy got pelted with cans. But
wow,
it was really scary to have a giant guy come for you.
Well, here's the thing, because me and Kimmel went to wrestling camp one time for a man show bit.
You did.
And there's a lot of that sort of, it's all fun and games, but don't resist or you might actually get hurt. It's always a weird thing when a 300-pound guy has you in a sort of scissor lock and he says, don't fight it, because if you fight it, you could actually dislocate a hip or something. Like, there's that element. It's sort of like movie stunts.
It sounds like date rape.
It's clearly...
Don't cry for help.
Yeah, no, this was just rape. And by the way, they should just call rape if they're going to use date rape. You know what I mean?
But this was wrestling rape, so it's spelled W-R-A-P.
The point is... It's like a movie stunt in that, everything's planned out. There's a fire marshal and everything, but we're still setting you on fire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's that sort of, this is all planned, but you're still getting hit with a folding chair.
You're going to lose an eyebrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is sort of scary. And when these guys get into character, it freaks you out, even though you know it's like walking through a haunted house. You know, there's just some guy getting $7 an hour holding some giblets, duct taped to his forehead. But he still scares the S out of you when he jumps out at you, right?
I've done that job.
The giblet job?
With Bobcat. Yeah, the haunted house job.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a bad summer job that he and I both had at
Bobcat
the New York State
Fair.
Bobcat
is a menacing character if you've ever seen him in real life. Guy wearing a cowboy hat. All he's 5'6" and he's 140 pounds. And he is a wrestler,
a grappler.
Yeah,
grapplers. The wrestlers like to be referred to as grapplers, and the burlesque dancers like to be called peelers.
Oh, really?
Not strippers.
See, when I was burlesque a wrestler, I was known as a bottom.
What was your wrestling name? What was your wrestling name?
Kid S's in his shorts.
Sweet.
Yeah. It was just freaky enough to work. You know,
and were
I mean?
You and Kimmel a tag team? Or
we Kimmel got like pile driven and really like hurt his back. You know, the worst part about pro wrestling is, picture this. 300-pound dude covered in hair, just sort of hillbilly hair, right? He's shirtless, or he's wearing, you know, coveralls with one strap undone. And the next thing you know, he's got you in a headlock, and your head is stuffed in his sweaty pit. And he's jumping up and down with your head in his pit. Now, you don't really think about just the BO and funk part of wrestling, but imagine a 300-plus pound guy who's, you know, got man boobs and hair all over his body, and you're going to wedge your head into the guy's pit. Now, the guy didn't just wake up from a long nap on an autumn day. He's been running around the ring. This guy's got a lather worked up. You've shoved your head into this guy's.
It's not the good kind of lather either.
No,
not the sweet smelling Dial lather.
No, it smells. It's got there's
and you can see down the front of his overalls.
There's a little speed stick mixed in with a little like King Cobra mixed in with a little. little speed from 2 weeks ago. It's just coming out of this guy's pit. And now, for the rest of the day, the side of your head smells like the guy's pit.
Great. King Cobra meets King Kong.
Oh, you never, no one ever really factors in the super sweaty 300-pound pit guy thing. But all those headlocks and all those grabs, where do you think your head is?
Well, these guys, I mean, they really do work, like you're saying, it really is work, you know, and these guys are, I mean, I've seen guys, you know, they pound each other with chairs, and the great thing about Lucha Vavoom is, especially if you're in the ringside seats, you're going to be dodging flying, falling, giant pituitary cases with capes, you know, or if it's the mini match, you'll be dodging little people.
Yeah, and blood and teeth and semen.
Yeah.
It's all. It's like a Gallagher concert gone horribly wrong.
Except we don't hand out raincoats.
That's right. You're on your own.
So this is like a Gallagher 2 concert.
This is a family entertainment night.
Yes, this is
bring
family.
The kids.
Bring the kids. Although I go to see the Lucha. I go to see the Lucha around town. Like, you know, there's matches in Compton and elsewhere.
Sure.
And that's full of families. It's all Mexican families. It's like if it was, you know, if it was honkies, it'd be Disney on Ice. But they're going to see Mexican wrestling in their stroller parking in front of the ring.
We protect our kids well into their early 20s. And Mexicans, look, they're, you know, pregnant at 11. You might as well see some wrestling at 4.
Yeah. But I think Clifford the Big Red Dog is way creepier than pro wrestling. I'd rather have my kid watch wrestling than PBS.
Healthier. All right, let's take ourselves a break. We took no phone calls.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Is that because no one's calling?
No, they're all calling. It's just I'm into wrestling and SpongeBob. high liver count. Thinks about getting penis implants. All right, let's take one quick call just to say we did it. Colby?
Yeah.
24?
How's it going?
Good. You're thinking about getting a penis implant?
Actually, yeah. They're pelleted implants. It's not like an implant.
Those.
It's implants for like her pleasure.
Yes, you can have like a dorsal fin on top of your penis, right?
that's the idea.
Yeah.
You have a qualified urologist looking into this for you?
No, it's actually going to be, if I do it, it's a guy at a tattoo shop.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Well. But look, here's the thing about women. Women barely like a smooth penis. You dress that thing up with a bedazzler, and she may be out of there. You know what I mean? No one wants to seem like they're getting, you know, raped with a hollowed-out fish, you know, that the Mexican plays. You know, they don't want a serrated penis.
Yeah, rein it in, Shamu. Don't do it.
Don't do it, Colby.
Yeah, some parts of the body you have two of, like your arms or legs.
And
you don't want to mess
weird.
Up the...
Yeah, look, it's just... Here's all I'm saying. If you do some kind of weird, aggressive thing to your penis... It is going to attract a very small percentage of society, which is nuts, by the way, and repulse a much larger group. Yes?
Yes.
All right. Tom Kenny is here tonight. he's a pro wrestler.
Yes, I am.
Who's here from Mexicali. He's here to promote Lucha Vavoom, which is going on at the Mayan Theater in downtown Los Angeles Wednesday and Thursday night. Bring the Mexican kids. And those of you Anglo parents who don't want to take your white kids, I can rent you out some Mexican kids. You can bring them out. So I know you feel bad.
It's 21 and over.
Unacceptable.
Is it?
the Lucha Vavoom is. But
the other stuff.
The ones in the hood?
Yeah.
Family friendly. I bring my kid.
Fantastic. Well, now, does your kid want to hear you speak SpongeBob all the time? Or is
he's so over it.
You?
Like, Dad, yeah. Could you please not do funny voices in front of my friends anymore?
Right. You're humiliating me.
Yeah,
Dad,
stop.
Yeah. Yeah, like 3 blocks before the preschool. I'll get out here. Son, it's raining. I'm cool. I'll put the sports page over my head. I'm got it. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew and doing a great job. Tom Kenny here tonight. Lucha Vavoom is what he's plugging Wednesday night and Thursday night out here at the Mayan Theater in Los Angeles. Also, SpongeBob everywhere. And I know Tom's work from a little project called Windy City Heat.
Oh,
I worked
yes.
with him on where he was absolutely magnificent as the gay clothier.
That was you. I saw that.
As were you, Adam. fabulous on
Dang
that.
But Tom had a huge, great scene. Fantastic. Do you now recognize
yes.
him from Windy City Heat?
They're going to do some...
Without my fake mustache.
It's going to be on Nickelodeon.
That's one of the greatest shows that no one's ever seen.
Yes.
The funniest show no one's ever seen.
Yes, Comedy Central did a wonderful job of bearing Windy City Heat.
They did.
They did a fantastic job.
Seems.
Yeah, people get angry when I run into them, and they're like, "What? Why isn't that?" Because it really could have been Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be nothing close to that.
Well, and there have been shows since then that have sort of
attempted.
Springboarded from the same basic idea and done it not nearly as well, which is always frustrating.
Yes.
You know, because, boy, Bobcat's getting a lot of plugs tonight, but he directed it and Kimmel produced it, right? And,
yeah,
and,
we...
Don Barris. Of,
yeah, I didn't, you know, we produced it, but it was mostly Kimmel's work.
This is why I'm not further ahead in the business. I'm,
that's fine. Insult the host.
Who...
No, Kimmel did all the hard work. We just technically, I just technically had my name on it, but this is an excellent. And you know why I can say this? Because I just had a small part in it and did little bits and pieces in it. So I can say that this is one of the funniest, without sounding like I'm blowing smoke up myself.
No,
it's
really
great. Anything to do with it. But it is one of the funniest movies that have come out in the last few years.
Well, maybe a DVD. Like that's one of the few things that could come out on DVD and you would actually watch the extras.
Right. Yeah, well, Windy City Heat is the name of it, and I don't even know how to find it. I don't even know where it is, but go on the internet and see if you can find
some
Windy City Heat.
Yeah, there's some wacko that's got it.
Tom is excellent in it.
Thank you.
Excellent. And let's get back to the phones.
We're taking one call an hour here. That's our promise to the listener.
Carbon tattoos. Wait a minute. High liver count. Oh, is this Cisco from last night?
From last night, right.
All right. Cisco.
Hey, what's up?
You're 25. Hey. What's up?
Nothing much. This is my problem. I went to my doctor about a couple weeks ago, and basically she took a whole bunch of blood samples from me, and they came back, and like she noticed the numbers were regular, so I had to go back for more blood work. And basically it came back, and like my cholesterol was fine, white blood cell count was fine, red blood cell count was fine, you know. And she was running a hepatitis C count, basically just to see, you know, like testing for it to see if I was positive or anything, you know, because I was having problems with my liver. And basically, no. And she noticed that my liver count was at 55.
What's your liver count?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I've only got one.
The liver count, I mean, there's several different panels that are run on the liver. But anyway, the bottom line is you had some inflammation in the liver. Hepatitis C usually takes years before it shows up in terms of having abnormal blood tests.
Oh, really?
In terms of liver damage.
Well, I am 25, so. I mean,
well, no, but I'm talking about many more years than that. So it shows that you're having some inflammation or some irritation or damage to your liver. There are many things that can cause that. And at 25, it's more likely that it's another kind of hepatitis A, hepatitis B. But you haven't had any symptoms. It was just an abnormal liver test.
Well, yeah, I mean, the only other problems I've had, I mean, I've had, like, vomiting sensations where, like, I'll be at work just sitting down at my desk, you know, and I'll feel like I'm going to vomit or something, or I'll be sitting down playing a video game or, like, out with my friends or something, you know, and all of a sudden I'll just, like, feel like I'm going to hurl all of a sudden for no reason, and I don't usually, I mean, but...
Maybe you're pregnant.
Yeah, or in love.
Okay, so your hepatitis C is negative, and if she did a panel, she probably checked your A and B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she went over everything basically. And what I'm just calling up about is, I'm just curious, kind of like on a second opinion, if it might be something else. Because the thing is, I don't really drink a lot that much. I do every once in a while, so I know it probably couldn't be that. And I'm wondering if there's something else it could maybe be.
It could be many other things. There are other forms of viral infection that, you know, something like mononucleosis. There are many things that can affect the liver, and that's just an abnormal blood test.
How come you don't get mono when you're older? I'd like mono.
You'd like mono now?
Yeah.
Because of the way off. It's...
I'm always just jealous of those kids that got mono. Like, oh, my junior year I got mono. I missed 6 weeks of school. I'd stay in bed, watch TV, and eat soup for 6 weeks. I'm always like, you lucky bastard.
Well, they call it the kissing disease. The kissing disease. It's more common in adolescence.
That's why I didn't have it when I was 16.
Yeah.
So it's more common in adolescence where there are groups of adolescents and they're closer quarters and it's easier to transmit that way. You can get it at later stages.
Yeah. But you build up a resistance to it or something?
Only if you've had it. You're not going to build up a resistance. But it's the way it's transmitted.
Well, I was talking to Drew about it. And he said, as an adult, you just don't get certain things like you do when you're a kid.
Right. It's like very uncommon, but it's possible.
Diaper rash. Yeah, except for we do have folks that are into a certain lifestyle.
I saw the baby people on Springer, yeah.
Oh, I see. You know, that's the whole thing about that goddamn real sex on HBO or Showtime or whatever it is. Each time I'm scrolling down the thing and it's, ooh, real sex, 2000. And I think, oh, this is going to be good. Some sort of wet t-shirt contest or something. And then it's cut to the super fat white guy in the diaper who's, you know, crying and being flogged by the baggy boobed chick in her 50s. And it's like, can't you guys put someone good looking on the show every once in a while? Does it all have to be this sort of macabre occult stuff? Can it just be some good looking people getting naked for a change?
Does it always have to be the guy that lifts cinder blocks with his pecker?
Right.
You know, that guy?
I know. Yeah. It's like, this guy's going to hold up a Greyhound bus with a scrotum sack. It's like, come on. You never see real sex?
No.
Bruce, what do you see? And by the way, on the way
home... He's a doctor. He doesn't have leisure time.
I passed 27 goddamn Magic Mountain signs with that old guy with the Swifty Lazar glasses. Do you believe this? The depths. Tom, do you understand what it's like sitting next to a doctor, whether it be Bruce or Drew, every goddamn night of my life? I was making fun of the Magic Mountain bald old guy with the big glasses and the whatever.
Looks like Deep Throat without his toupee.
Yes. Yeah. And Bruce is staring at me going, I have no idea what you're talking. No idea. Every billboard, every commercial, every bus for the last years. Dun, 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 dun. He's like, I've never seen.
See, and if I know about something, it's ubiquitous because I'm a total troglodyte. I very rarely watch TV, you know, haven't gone out to a movie that doesn't have a Happy Meal tie-in in years.
Yes.
So, you know, if I know about something, it's huge.
That's the point.
And even more in the cave than I am, it's terrifying.
Whoa, he's Bin Laden.
Yeah.
Well, with a stethoscope.
Tom, may I say this? I fill in for Drew, and I don't have to put up with this abuse every night the way Drew does. But Drew explains this to me, that Adam just is intolerant.
I can't
someone that doesn't
accept
share.
It.
Yeah.
Well, I can't
his
accept
pop culture.
It.
Yes, sir, Ms. Grohl.
I was driving home last night. I was talking on the phone, and I was behind a pickup truck that had the... Now, in Calvin and Hobbes, which one is the boy?
Calvin.
That's Calvin.
Yeah.
All right. That sticker of Calvin, okay? Now, Bruce, you want to just leave the room so I don't interrupt on you?
Just shut my mic.
Here's the point. There, if you drive behind enough pickup trucks, you will see on about every 11th one that sort of silhouette cutout decal. It's not quite a bumper sticker of Calvin. And Calvin
on the window, right?
On the window, on the back window of a pickup truck. And Calvin is urinating on oftentimes the Ford insignia, if the guy's driving a Chevy, or oftentimes the Chevy insignia, if he's driving a Ford. Once in a while, he's dragging a cross.
That is the weirdo one. The born-agains that have appropriated this comic strip character. The comic strip doesn't seem to have any religious affiliation.
He's
orange with a tiger. I don't know.
It's just like Calvin with the stigmata. You know, it's weird.
All right. Have you ever seen this,
yes.
Chris? Yes. Yes.
I have.
Yes. The point is
good radio.
I saw one last night when I was driving home. Was Calvin. I don't know how the part where he's urinating on everyone, but there's that sort of arc of urine, that sort of solid Skittles rainbow of urine, which is landing on the Ford insignia or whatever. He pees on things he doesn't like, evidently. Mm-hmm. I don't follow the comic strip close enough to know if he actually urinates on things he doesn't like or that's just an invention of a very creative mind. But the point is Calvin is urinating on a sticker that says, everyone.
Oh,
and
wow.
I thought, wow, this guy,
nihilism.
Talk about antisocial.
Yeah.
You can't even pick a truck make you don't like. He has to whiz on everybody. And by the way, that includes you too, bucko.
That guy even hates his own truck.
Yes, he's whizzing on you, your truck, your mom, your deceased grandparents. All of them are getting whizzed on. And I just thought, how antisocial is this guy? That's when I'm bad. In charge?
But at least he's making a stand. Like, I hate, like, the bumper magnet ribbons, you know, right. Support our troops, you know. But, you know, the person that says, hey, you know, I feel sort of strongly about this, but not strongly enough to mess up the Blue Book resale value
right.
of my car.
Because right.
the gum, I don't want the gummy stuff on the bumper. But I will commit to a magnet.
Yeah, I'm not going to take a straight edge and some lighter fluid to this if I'm trying to sell.
SpongeBob been misappropriated to peeing on that mirror?
Yeah,
SpongeBob, that's very interesting. I have not seen that yet, but I have
vaginal
seen
SpongeBob. I'm sure that's someone's thought of that way more than once.
I haven't really seen anything like that, but I have seen like a lot of like good like funny knockoffs like south of the border or places like that where you'll go and there'll you know some roadside you know ceramic bank of SpongeBob that's way off model with both eyes on the same side of his head you know where you go wow who couldn't draw a square you know and these people messed up a square
it's good it's great you go shopping in Tijuana and you see stuff that's just a little bit off like hey look at that leather Pittsburgh Steelers bomber jacket but the insignia is sort of upside down or something. I don't even know if they have to do it for copyright reasons or it's just everything seems to be a little bit off.
Yeah, you go to Asia and the t-shirts are like, you know, American sport team baseball.
Right.
Now, league number one.
We'll take no calls tonight, but I saw a video game. Jimmy and I were playing a video game once called Violence Fight. And I realized, Asian translation. Everyone, it sounded good to everyone who was, you know, in Japan doing the thing, but didn't really translate. All right, so here's the point. I'm driving home, and I'm yelling about you.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, Bruce, I'm talking on a cell phone, Bruce has never seen the Magic Mountain midget running, the old guy running around dancing. It gives me the heebie-jeebies. And meanwhile, I come across Calvin taking a whiz on everyone. And I'm saying, oh, man, I'm seeing this truck. And the person I'm talking to has never seen the Calvin sticker.
Ah.
So now I shift my vitriol toward that person. Like, now I start yelling at them. What do you mean you've never seen the Calvin? Well, you drive the Southland freeways, do you not? Well, I do drive. You commute to work, is that so? Well, I just, what do? Stare at your feet when you drive? Of course.
I don't want to live in this world. And then you pull up alongside, and the driver is the little bald guy from the Magic Mountain ads.
Oh, and it all comes together.
But remember, everything happens for a reason.
All right.
That's the last guy you see.
Tom Kenny is here tonight. Thank God Bruce knows Calvin urinating.
Thank God, yeah.
That strip was retired from newspapers like 12 years ago, wasn't it? That guy just, gave it up.
I have no idea. I just don't know who decided he should be adopted to urinate on truck insignias.
Yeah. Why him and not, say, Kathy or Marmaduke?
Why not the tiger? More
why
logical.
Why not Hobbsy?
Yeah, why not Hobbs? It seems a more logical choice to urinate
Dick
on
Tracy,
things.
He's wearing a raincoat. You know, it's a short slope, slippery slope.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Tom Kenny's here tonight, from SpongeBob SquarePants and also Lucha Vavoom. Wednesday and Thursday at the Mayan Theater in downtown Los Angeles. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Nicely.
So we're going to do our second call or our third?
Tom Kenny here tonight. Yeah.
I love that kid.
That's my mantra. Bruce filling in and Tom Kenny here.
you know him as SpongeBob and a zillion other characters.
Shut up! I said shut up!
Lucia Vavoom.
Dr. Wagner.
Is something he's working on, which is at the Mayan Theater, 29th and 30th, Wednesday and Thursday of this week. And let's take a question for Tom. Jordan?
Yeah?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Jordan.
Hi.
What kind of implants are you thinking about?
One calf, one boob. Breaking it up. You know what I mean?
Nothing at the moment. Tom?
Yes, sir.
Hi.
Hi.
Why does, SpongeBob always, come on for, a month and then is, gone for, a year and then always, comes back? Is the show going to be, on solid now?
I think so. I mean, I don't really know how network programmers think, you know what I mean? I don't know whether they think that maybe it's too ubiquitous and they need to pull it off the, you know, the shelves for a little while so that it doesn't... I don't know whether there's strategy involved or just ineptitude. I'm not sure.
What about the animation? Is it done overseas?
Yes.
And how much lead time? I mean, it can be a year or nine months or something?
Eight, 9 months to a year. And it's the actual animation is done in Korea.
And do we...
At a place called Rough Draft that does a lot of the animated shows. They're probably the biggest animation studio over there in Korea. But yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, it's weird. It kind of goes in fits and... Yeah. Starts and I never know what they're thinking.
Are they also when you get picked up for a block of them, how many episodes will that be usually?
13, you know, they'll just go up and go, hey, we're doing 13 more half hours.
And is you know, I always wonder why we can't speed up the animation process a little bit. I mean, I know computers don't quite cut it these days, but wouldn't you have thought 10 years ago or 15 years ago when the Simpsons were farming everything out overseas that, okay, by 2005 we'll have some sort of computer program that spits this stuff out, or we can do it here stateside, or the turnaround time will be 4 months instead of 9 months, but it still seems be all about the same.
Yeah, you know, it's like when you're in a movie theater and you walk past the projection booth and there's still some big contraption with big spools of film going
right,
and it just seems like you're in 1908 all of a sudden.
I thought we'd have a probe up our ass and it would just it would actually project it on the inside of our eyeballs by now.
Well, you know, SpongeBob was traditional cell animation up until the last season or two, you know, hand-drawn animation. Now they're doing it computer.
They are
using computers to make it look like traditional cell animation,
but still farmed out overseas.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure there's business reasons for that.
Well, I mean,
Lee Gifford.
I always understood that the stuff was done overseas because drawing the cells was so painstaking and so time-consuming that the idea of you're paying the guy $9 an hour as opposed to $26 an hour, it's just that much cheaper.
Now, what was the flap with Disney? They did the Pixar and they got rid of all their animation people?
I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I don't know. I just drive around town and make funny voices all day and go home to my cave.
I want to ask Jordan, you're 15?
Yeah, you should be focusing on springing pubes and meeting young ladies, not when the next season of SpongeBob is coming out, Jordan. No offense.
SpongeBob's choking over here. So, Jordan, I want to...
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, what's going on there, buddy? Virgin?
Yeah.
Shocking.
I'm also a Calvin Hobbs fan, and in the comics, he never anything.
Why is he on every other pickup truck?
Yeah, why him? Why did they pick on him?
Yeah.
There's a million other copyrights they could have infringed upon.
Rex Morgan, M.D.? Should he be urinating on things?
A Mary Worth squatting over a Ford logo.
Yeah, or Kathy. drop a log on the Mopar emblem.
Jordan, are you a...
Lockhorns are risque.
Are you a closet SpongeBob fan, or is it in vogue to let your friends know you're into it?
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, big fan, and then I keep on I always have kind of an eye out for it.
All right. Yeah. All right. Nostalgia. And you're in high school now, though, right?
Yeah. Just finished freshman year.
All right. You're wearing long pants and everything.
The
braces are off. All right, buddy. Let's go now. It's time for that the Nance to drop and the voice to change.
You go to high school and be a SpongeBob fan, but you couldn't say I'm into Jimmy Neutron or something like that.
Well, Dora. Yeah. I mean, Dora, you know, the good thing about SpongeBob, and I'm as amazed by it as anyone, seems to enjoy enormous goodwill almost everywhere. Parents seem to like it because it's not horrible. You know, like, they can sit and watch it with their kids, and it's not irritating. And, right. you know, stoners seem to like it. And, you know, I get letters from, you know, old people, like 95-year-old people in old folks' homes and guys in prison and right. People like Jordan.
No stigma.
Yeah, there's no stigma. Yeah. Like, he seems to get a free ride from practically
What's with the dominance of plankton of late?
Huh? Oh, is plankton featured in a lot of the episodes? I don't know. Just the writers going, okay.
Oh, those writers.
We're sick of these characters.
Sort of a negative role model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Jordan.
Let's talk to
I just want to say real quick,
Sean.
I'm a counselor at a camp every summer, and the 17 and 18-year-olds seem to like SpongeBob more than anybody else.
Yeah, see?
That's cool. Yeah, but if an 18-year-old is into Dora the Explorer, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
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 They like punk rock and SpongeBob.
Yeah, it's weird. It's because it was certainly not the plan. I mean, as far as we were concerned, we were making a children's show that was going to air on a children's network. You know, there was no thought put in. Oh, let's synthesize a show that everyone will love.
Right. And all you know, I wonder though. We got to take a break, but you know, it started off. I mean, 5 years ago. Cable stations where, okay, chicks watch this one and kids watch this one and adult males watch this one. But I'm starting to figure out that people just can navigate the satellite dish and find the shows they want to find when they're on, and they'll watch everything. I think all those sort of experts turned out to be sort of wrong in the sense that people can change a channel. They'll watch Comedy Central for a half hour and then they'll flip on over to Nickelodeon and watch that.
Yep. Well, it's lucky for me that like people seem to like, at least in today's society, seem to just freeze in an infantile state that lasts their whole lives.
You're right.
Which is good for us that do cartoons.
We got to take ourselves a break. You got to get the Middle East some of that SpongeBob. I got to
yeah,
believe
they love it.
It would lighten up a little over there.
No, not all right.
We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this.
Yeah.
Finally, some Bruce can bang his head to. Loveline. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tom Kenny's here tonight. You know him as SpongeBob, and also you can find him this Wednesday and Thursday at the Mayan Theater in downtown Los Angeles. Lucha Vavoom is it's pro wrestling.
Sex and violence.
It's beautiful, beautiful semi-naked women dancing. Bring the kids. Come on down. Also, touring around, we're going to be in Chicago and Toronto, Vancouver, Seattle, San Francisco.
Chicago on September 16th, which is Mexican Independence Day, I'm told.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, that's what I hear. We were there on Cinco de Mayo, and it was crazy. So, yeah, they're starting to take it around.
Well, I'll tell you, let me just say something to our... we have a large Mexican fan base. Friday's coming up, Mexican Independence. Go ahead and loosen your tie and crack a beer. Enjoy. Come on now. You really have to convince these people to, you know, loosen up the tie, put down the slide rule, and crack a
Stop
beer.
Stop holding back.
And just enjoy rule. Yourself for a change. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's Friday. It falls on a Friday this year. You know what I mean? Go to work, and when you get home, go ahead and have yourself like one Miller Lite, watch a little TV. Let your hair down.
Come on.
You know what I mean?
Don't be so uptight.
We got T-shirts people at a party.
There goes the fan base.
What are you talking about? I'm saying.
You're supporting
give them lessons.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. All right. What are we talking about?
Anarchy.
Anarchy?
Anarchy.
And SpongeBob. Anarchy.
Let's talk to
SpongeBob is anarchy.
Sean on...
I am an animal.
Sean, 19, Sean?
Oh.
Yeah. Shut up.
Only 19 and he...
Was he smoking
can almost operate
drink?
A phone.
Yeah.
Sean, were you really doing a B-load?
Yep.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, that is anarchy.
Yeah. Shut up!
This can't be a tattoo question.
What's your question?
Hey, Sean.
I gave myself a tattoo about a year and a half ago, and I made my own ink. It was out of ash, and I was wondering if it's possible to remove those.
Why did you make your own ink?
I don't know. I just sort of got into it and didn't want to use normal ink because I thought it might be dangerous.
So you got a prison tattoo, basically.
Basically, yeah.
What are they, what's a normal tattoo? What kind of ink do they use in normal tattoo?
Well, one of the problems is there's not a standardization process.
It's all different companies make it. It's like Indian ink.
Ink's commonly used, but as far as the commercial grade, there's not a standardization. If you have colors, then it's usually like reds have a mercury compound or so
you made one. You made one out of ash.
That's the most common way of homemade.
How do you do that?
You burn something and collect the soot.
Right.
You mix it with something else that acts like a, you know, some people
binder,
use toothpaste.
And that's it? Yeah. And so
you get a black.
Good idea.
Right.
Pasty material. That's actually, those are very easy to remove.
They respond
very well. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
That's the good news.
Yeah. Can you do another bong load for us?
Sure.
Sean, what is the tattoo that you so nicely gave yourself?
Tommy's doing a bong load.
Oh, sorry. Yes. I'm just covering for you while you...
We'll talk amongst ourselves, but go ahead, Sean.
All right.
What's your tattoo of? Oh. And I'll take my answer post-bong hit.
It's of a... let's see. It says still in love, and it was just for a girlfriend. Who, all by right. the way, is in love
cool.
with SpongeBob.
Shouldn't you have given her the tattoo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. She got one that said, still laughing Sean's friend. It was a little response. He wasn't
I want to see other people.
Because he rolled his sleeve up and showed her that. She pulled her pant leg up and showed her the still laughing your best friend tat. It'd be funny if someone's ready with their response tattoo. But still in love is great, unless it's still in love with Margaret.
Yeah, that's reusable. That's recyclable.
Right.
Her name doesn't appear in the tattoo, right?
Right, right. Sean, is her name in the tat?
No.
All right.
See? Well,
then all
just keep that hidden from all your future girlfriends and just like unveil it at the precise moment, baby.
Right.
On the second date.
I did this
date.
For you.
Yeah, right. The second date. I did this for you.
You're in.
Right, right. So, yeah, I know. You know, well, underneath that nicotine patch I've been wearing for 6 months... I got a tattoo. Yeah, because obviously they're going to ask questions when it's covered up.
Yeah, you got to keep it covered. How come I never see you in short sleeves?
No, I'm modest. I have huge guns, and I want to intimidate
track
other
marks.
Men. Yeah, track marks.
So, Sean, you did this yourself, huh?
Yeah.
Were you loaded when you did it?
Yeah.
Okay, so the artwork's not exemplary, huh?
No.
Okay.
No, so, not really.
Yeah, that'll come off nicely.
Great.
Yeah, a few laser treatments.
Yeah. All right.
Still has two L's.
is Sean?
Yeah.
What kind of bong do you have?
It's glass, about a foot tall.
Yeah.
Is it a Tommy Chong bong?
No, it's not.
Does it have a good solid bass on it?
Yeah.
Because I have this theory.
Is that where you got your ash from?
Bong. bong. Manufacturers were like in cahoots with the Stanley Steamer rug cleaning company or the rug doctor or something, because every bong that I ever saw was 4 feet tall and had a base that was about an inch and a quarter and could immediately be knocked over. Like someone would set it down on the carpet and then would immediately get toppled, and then the whole place needed to be cleaned. Like it was
Bongy Bubbler meet Stanley Steamer.
No, but it was like, you know, people say, listen, these snack companies, they're in cahoots with the beverage companies. They make everything too salty. And the next thing you know, you have to drink a, you know, 6-pack of Cactus Cooler just to take the edge off the pretzels. I think bongs and carpet cleaning companies are in. We had a bong that was like the Space Needle in height, except for the base was like a nickel size. I'd have to climb up on scaffolding to use it, but it was just go sailing across the room. Like you couldn't set this thing on one of those tables that NASA uses for, you know, one of those plum tables that they use. That's, you know, several thousand pounds.
Like the jar that Genie lived in.
We had one that just was. It was literally 3 foot of like PVC pipe with a small dime sized base on it, and would get knocked over. Every single party, it'll be bong water everywhere, and then that never, you know, goes right into the padding of the carpet. And the whole place smells, you know, like a opium den for the next 6 weeks.
But you kept using it, right?
Well, we were stoned,
right.
And here's the whole thing about stoners: is you go, okay, I lost. Okay, I knocked that bong over. Never again. Now we've learned, and then just get knocked over the following weekend.
Dude, that's another security deposit I'm not going to get back.
Right. Bongs should be shaped like pyramids. You know what I'm saying?
For maximum power?
maximum power and for stability.
Like getting stoned with the Pharaohs.
Yes, they should be shaped like jack stands for your car, not
like an Erlenmeyer flask. That's what the medical students use.
Right,
so
right.
Dump theirs over.
That's right. Yeah. Like that. They should have like 80 pounds of sand in the bottom of them in a bean bag. You know.
How often do you hear the term Erlenmeyer flask on the radio?
I don't know. I wanted to be a first.
The point is they're shaped like, you know, bamboo, just growing in the wild, but with no root system, you know, just to go sailing over. You slam the door and it just goes sailing across.
What a great testimonial to the no effect and consequential thinking.
Yeah.
Smoking pot.
Thank you.
Now with extra tippiness.
I think they've wised up a little bit and they're making them a little bit wider at the base now.
No, why'd they throw Tommy Chong in jail?
He's
a nice guy.
I have no idea why he was
nothing better to do
for his butt.
I know. Look, he was selling. Okay.
Okay.
I think they wanted to use him as an example to other comedians from the 1970s who wanted to start bond companies.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Yeah. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Just in case David Steinberg or somebody wants to get into the bond business.
You know, Adam is a great metal fabricator.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Am I?
Yeah, that thing you did in your BMW.
No, I'm
incredible.
Decent. I would call myself great.
He's very modest.
Alexis?
Yeah.
You're 17?
I sure am.
What's up, baby doll?
Well, okay, I called about a year ago when Carney Wilson was on.
And, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
We talked about my vibrator, and I was still a virgin at the time. And I was wondering if I'd still like be able to have an orgasm without it when I did have sex. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a virgin anymore, and I can't. Mm-hmm. Ever.
You can't have an orgasm ever?
Without it?
I can't without it.
Mm-hmm. But what if you incorporate it into the sexual act?
Well, I don't know. I've been kind of weird about bringing that up. I figured
you don't want to freak.
I mean, does that, like, offend guys? Like, does it, like,
I don't know. Your stepbrother's going to have to understand that you have needs. No, I don't. It depends. It really depends on how evolved the guy is. How old is the guy?
19.
Is he? Does he seem uptight? Is he ask you questions about old boyfriends, or is he sort of tightly wound?
No.
All right. Here's what I think you should do. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Incorporate the vibrator, but make it his idea.
How?
Well, you're going to have to bring it up. You can't use the one, you know, the sort of high mileage one that you keep in the sock drawer. He's going to have to go out and buy you a new one.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a mixed feelings about talking to 17-year-old minors about this, but...
She's 17.
She's 17, but she's sexually active. What are you going to do?
Notice how the cartoon guy is totally sitting this way.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm kind of naughty talking about this in front of SpongeBob.
I'm so embarrassed.
But I think Adam's right. Guys can get insecure about that, so you have to make it seem like his idea. Like, just play the dope card. Like, yeah. I wonder if there's some sort of a device that would, I don't know, shake around or vibrate in a way that would increase. Do they make anything like that?
Right.
And then he'll feel like Johnny Man of the World when he says, you know, baby, as a matter of fact, there is a product that would meet that particular need.
Right. It's called a toaster oven.
It's called a toaster oven. Let's go open an account right now.
Here's the thing, and let me explain both directions. I think what a guy doesn't want to see is you pull out something that looks like it's been, you know, around the world a few times that you may have used, certainly without him, maybe with other guys beforehand.
Travel stickers on it, like a valise.
Like Bugs Bunny's steamer trunk.
Yeah.
You know, when Bugs Bunny would smack the baseball so hard that it would actually circle the glove and come back with all the steamer stickers on it. Here's my point. Oh, what happened to the old cartoons? The classics.
The classics.
What happened to the classics?
Now we got SpongeBob.
Oh, for the love of Christ.
On things.
The point is make it his idea. And for guys that are trying to get one incorporated into the bedroom when it's the guy's idea to bring one out, don't do that, honey, we're going to the dildo shop. You got to go out and buy one. You got to hide it. You have to break it out, not at the dinner table, but when things are getting intimate in the bedroom. You see, because if you just announce to most women, you know, at noon on a Tuesday, hey, we want to hit the sex shop, they'll be like, no, 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 I don't want to do it. If you sort of slowly incorporate it into the act when you're halfway into the act, they'll tend to go along with it.
Mm. Well, I think also you're dealing with concrete thinking adolescence. And if she pulls something out, you know, there's going to be a direct comparison in size. So she doesn't want to get something that's too large either.
He's going to get it. That's my diabolical point and diabolical. Think it's his idea. Mm.
But don't turn it into a date, like the shopping experience.
No,
turn
no.
No, dildos, dildos, dildos.
And here's the...
We've been the leading name in dildos for over 45 years.
It's dildo dealing days. Come on down.
Come down to Crazy Dildos.
Well, $1 over MSRP. Yeah, and no credit, bad credit, foreclosure.
It's the biggest dildo auction in California.
I like those. I love those auction commercials because it's like that 55-foot cruiser that vessel sold for $1 because only one guy. Oh wow,
yeah.
Awesome!
All that weird stuff is at the Fairplex in Pomona.
Yes, yep. Yes,
at the Fairplex in Pomona. Yeah.
So here's the other thing too, and the other thing that's weird about women, which means they're totally different than guys, is women can have great orgasms with a vibrator on their own for years, but when it gets incorporated into the lovemaking, doesn't work at all, which is something that guys could never understand. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like if you had something,
it's me, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like.
I know it's me.
If you
I'm failing you somehow.
If you're a guy who digs watching porn, and all of a sudden your girlie says, go ahead and put some porn on while we do it, that's good on good, right? That's even better. Women, not the case with the vibrator. Women is like, oh, it's awesome when I'm alone, but if he holds it, it doesn't work. Uh-huh. What
Alexis,
is that?
You never want to preface going for the device. You know, you never want to preface that by saying, this isn't working. Hold on.
Right.
And then rummage around, you know, in the closet, you know.
Right. Oh. Yeah. Draw me a bath. Let me just mop up.
Hold on.
We're going to the bullpen. Yeah. Let's go and put your windbreaker on and
honey,
hit the pine.
What's the matter? Honey, what can I, is there anything I can do or say? I would.
That's fine. So make yourself a sandwich. Watch yourself some SpongeBob. Draw me a bath. I'll be out in a short 10. Bradley?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yeah, sorry.
What's up?
Gazoon hype, Bradley.
Thank you.
What's up?
I haven't had sex for about 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And I seem to remember... sorry, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I seem to remember my penis being a lot bigger than it used to be. And I'm just wondering if there's like atrophy of the penis because it hasn't been used in a long while.
Well, you haven't had sex in 4 years, but you have seen your penis, have you not?
Right, and that's my point, is that it looks...
You're allergic to it, apparently.
It
looks smaller than it used to be in my mind. Like, when it's flaccid, it looks smaller than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see it erect all that often, because I don't masturbate. So.
Why not? First off, we could never hang out. Ever. That's number one. Number two, why, look, as a 26-year-old male, you should see your erect penis every morning as you whiz into the sink. That's right. The great diving board sound.
What else is going on? Have you been depressed or had some sort of trauma?
He
hasn't had sex in 4 years. Of course he's depressed.
Right. Stupid question.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I don't understand. Do you have a medical condition?
I don't think so.
Well, maybe it's just an innie.
How do you not have an erection every morning as a 26-year-old male?
I see it like erect like once in a while, but like in the morning, like obviously. If I did have it erect, I'm pretty asleep, so I don't really pay attention. I just kind of pee in the dark, I guess.
All right, hold on a second. I have to sort you out without you cluttering my thought process.
A lot of guys just don't pay attention to that.
No. Is that true?
Well,
is that possible?
If
I do the water displacement test with mine every morning for graduated cylinder.
Right.
Just like your
Bunsen beaker.
Well, that's what
he's
doing.
And they drop it into it. Look, something is wrong with Bradley. Yes?
Yeah, it's not penis size.
No.
There's something else going on.
Bradley.
Yeah.
Is this a put-on? I mean, is this a bogus call, or have you rarely see your erect penis?
He's turning to you for help, Adam.
I see it, like, you know, as often as somebody would, you know, just having, like, in the morning or something. But my question is more about the flaccid state.
No, but what about masturbation? When's the last time you masturbated?
About 2.5 years ago.
2.5 years ago.
Are you... Well, I don't want to ask that.
And what? Why have you stopped over the last 2.5 years?
I think I got to a point where I didn't really look forward to it. Like it was fun, but then I just kind of felt convicted, like I didn't really want to do it anymore.
So. Is it a religious thing, or?
Yeah, mostly, I guess. Yeah.
What's your religion?
Christian.
And did you rediscover, you know, were you born again or something?
Yeah, I mean, a long time ago, but I just kind of got to a point where I didn't want to do it anymore.
Wow.
I don't miss it or anything, but I just noticed that, like, my penis, when it's flaccid, well, it's small, it seems...
I understand you're obsessed with that, but what about, and we're not answering because there's no answer to that, but what about you must have nocturnal emissions.
Oh, yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So here's the part I don't really understand, because really that's like God giving you a hand job. That's like God. That it really is. It's God saying, "Look, buddy, if you're not going to beat it, I'm gonna."
Yeah.
Okay. Someone's gonna give you a beat.
If we can equate God and nature, that's certainly true. But yeah. You can have variations in your testosterone, and testosterone is going to vary depending on, I would say, sexual activity, especially exercise, things like that. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a very minor variation in your penis size.
All right.
And especially in your the flaccid state, it's not something you're going to...
Bradley.
Yeah.
But I'm more concerned about... So you haven't been in a relationship, even non-sexual, but...
Mm-hmm.
But nothing, romantic.
Yeah, what's going on with the in the girly department?
I had a lot of relationships when I was younger, like in high school and early college, and I kind of saw that I was pinned to waste too much energy into that, and so I just want to focus on my studies and not making my life about, like, a girlfriend at the time. So I figured I'll get to that later on.
Yeah.
Well, life's about balance. So I, you know,
what are you studying?
Computer technology, like working with architecture.
You do that CAD program?
Yeah, CAD.
Mm, interesting.
Computer animated drawing. Right.
Yeah, I'm in architecture myself. Bradley, now, here's what you need to do. You need to find yourself a woman. You need to start dating. You need to sort of, integrate yourself back into society a little bit. I mean, 4 years without relations. You're not masturbating, for Christ's sake. Come on, buddy.
Now,
let's go.
Were you wanking more when before you were born again?
Well, that happened when I was 8, but I didn't really stick to it. So. Yeah.
Well, okay. So that's just an old day job that you used to have. That whole born again phase. Yeah. You're done with that. Okay, so that's not the culprit anymore. Hopefully,
it isn't the culprit anymore.
No. I mean, I became a Christian when I was, like, in elementary school, but then I would do things like I would have sex with my girlfriend and masturbate and stuff like that. And then right around the time I was 22, then I decided, or 21, I decided I didn't want to do that anymore. So
yeah. All right. Well, let's get back. Well, come on. Give Satan a second shot. Come on. Give him a second look. He's not such a bad guy. Here's the thing. I'm from sitting next to Dr. Drew long enough. He has sort of shut down his testosterone production because he has no outlet for his seed. I mean, as a male, don't you need this to create testosterone? Aren't you gonna? You know what I mean? Does your body?
It's
almost like his nuts are hibernating.
Right. He's gonna have a decrease in it. But I mean, there's not gonna be a huge variation in baseline testosterone. I don't think the issue is the size of his penis related to his testosterone level. I think there's something else going on here.
Yeah, he's got his age.
But when he does have an orgasm, it's gonna be huge.
Oh my God.
Gusher. Holy cow.
Listen, we gotta start passing the hat.
Be like the end of Giant.
For the relief fund right now.
James Dean just covered.
Gusher.
Yeah, well, he's sublimating and he's been working on his studies, but at some point.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome when the when the futon goes floating down the street. A sea of semen.
The seminami.
People up on their roofs. Guys using motorboats to get around. Yeah. It's just dogs clinging to tree trunks. It's awesome. We get John Cougar does like a relief concert. Willie Nelson gets out there. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Let me ask you a hypothetical. I was just thinking about this the other night, Tom. I think I was watching St. Elmo's Fire, which was on a few nights back. Bruce, don't even join this because you, you've never heard of anything. You're not going to whatever I'm talking
about. St. Elmo's Fire, 1985.
You know? Okay, buddy.
Oh, wow. Right. Oh. Man, it was before you withdrew from the world, like our caller.
I was, I was watching Rob Lowe play the sax in the pivotal fight scene at St. Elmo's Fire, and I thought, what would you rather have, like, in terms of someone had something, like, embarrassing on you? Gay porn that you'd done like in the early 80s or an 80s coming of age film where you had to play the sax.
Yeah.
Like that thing where you just had to rock out and sort of play the sax to the soundtrack and you just look like the biggest
Chuck
a-hole
Connors
in the world.
Or Rob Lowe.
Right.
Which one's it going to be? Yeah.
Or Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Middle 80s, just 1985. You got the tie up around your head and the sleeves cut off. You're wearing some tight designer jeans and you're just playing that movie sax and rocking to a bad 80s sort of keyboard driven song.
But that's the thing about this, town and this business.
Answer the question.
Nobody's embarrassed about anything in this town, right?
So you're going gay porn or you're going air sax from the 80s?
Boy, if yeah.
Just think about what your hair's going to be looking like.
Bring on the gay porn.
Probably
bring on the gay porn, Adam.
Good call. I shall. And, probably wearing one of those working for the weekend type headbands, too. Little lover boy headband.
Oh, awesome.
Maybe a vest. Maybe a vest with no shirt on underneath it. Some boots, you know?
Creepers.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Tom Kenny's here tonight. Also, Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce filling in quite nicely for Dr. Drew. Tom Kenny's here tonight. You know him as a SpongeBob and a thousand million zillion other characters, both on and off camera. Yeah, huge. My Life with Morrissey.
What is that? Isn't that weird when the stuff that prints out when you
type
your name onto a computer?
Right. Wow.
These are shorts. I'm basically a guy that can't say no, Adam. That's what that very thick resume means. I'm not good at saying no.
Yeah. No, why not, though? Like, here's the thing about voiceover work. It's easy. You don't have to put on any makeup. You show up. You get a little paycheck. You go home. Oh, listen, I know is Commander Nebula.
Oh, yeah.
The Starfleet Command for many years.
See, people think it's easy, and then they come, then they show up at a SpongeBob session and see me, like, screaming like James Brown for 4 hours with veins popping out of my head, and they're like, oh, okay, you sort of do work, kind of.
So your friends bring their kids to watch those sessions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's scary. I mean, you know, I mean, bunch of actors in a windowless, airless room screaming.
What happens if a kid sees SpongeBob cursing?
Oh, I think you're talking. They wind up
trauma.
Yeah.
Worship the cloven hoofed prince of darkness.
Do you? And by the way, for kid, should you? I know it's great to go see SpongeBob being voiced over, but should you do that to your kid? You know what I mean? Isn't it sort of like seeing the Easter Bunny with his head off?
I was thinking that when my 5-year-old called me on the way here and he said, can you ask SpongeBob to put his costume on or his uniform or whatever? So he realized that you were the
uniform.
Voice. It was bizarre. I said, well, can you call in and ask him? And he goes, no, Dad, you got to ask him.
So, wow.
So I was thinking the same thing. It's got to be traumatic.
It has to be a kid who's old enough to understand that cartoons are voiced by grown-up people, grown-up actors who make the funny, that cartoons are drawings. They have to understand that cartoons are drawings and not real things, you know?
Well, I've caught them watching Cartoon Network.
Adult
Swim.
Yeah. Animated in Korea and voiced by guys who didn't get laid in high school.
Exactly.
But that's all right. They're printing money now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sound a little jealousy there.
Now look at me. Now I'm hosting Lucha Vavoom.
That's right.
That's it.
Yeah.
See, kids?
We'll disconnect
that's
there.
It. Don't listen to your guidance counselors. Make funny voices. Host wrestling shows.
That's right.
I've had to do some career days, and it's like, you know, me and the ROTC guy and the FBI agent and a computer programmer and then the cartoon voice guy who never did a day of college. And you're like, did you guys know about any of this when you invited me to career day?
Yeah, tell them drop out and...
Yeah.
Hang out with
just
Bobcat.
Make money doing all the things you got yelled at for in school.
Listen, I did. There's nothing better. I actually spoke to the business students at the business school at USC.
Oh.
And did an hour with those guys. You get to blow hard for like an hour. It is awesome.
And they're trying to ask intelligent questions.
Yes, and I'm just like, my ass doesn't stink for a whole hour while 19-year-olds just look up.
Unless you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, then you get booed for the entirety of your speech. That was a great clip. Nurses and teachers make too much money. A boo!
Ben?
Yes. Hey, I was Adam!
Corolla! Oh, Tom is going to love this.
Yeah.
Tom, you got to work this into SpongeBob.
Shut up!
Here's the thing. I want the game Marco Polo.
Yeah?
I don't want the game modified at all. I like the game. Yeah. I want the Marco Polo name change to Adam Carolla.
I like that. Yeah, it's time for a change.
Summer's heating up.
You know, Marco's had his, you know, he explored the world. He had his little day, yeah.
900 years that WAP's been in the ground.
Time for a change.
It's time for a change.
I'm also up to the plate, America.
Also starting a smear campaign that says he was like a pedophile and a racist. And all this kind of stuff.
Never left his backyard.
They owned slaves back then and all that stuff. And yeah, all his travels around the world, unsubstantiated. Mm-hmm.
It's like Baron Munchausen.
That's right. A lot of hearsay. Ben?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I had a question for Tommy, but you already kind of covered it with talking about his extensive career. I assume in comic book The Movie. Where they actually filmed at San Diego.
Yes.
And one of the things I was wondering now, though, a new question. Have you ever autographed body parts?
No, I don't think I ever have. I have not had the Lycissian experience of autographing a boob or something like that.
Yeah, but...
No, you know what? No one's... It's just never it's never come up. Luckily, no one has ever asked me. I get a lot of a lot of color form sets and beach inflatables, coloring books, but never a boob.
Ah, okay. Adam, I'll probably call back in a couple of weeks when I'm at Anthrocon, a furry convention.
Oh, really?
Maybe give you a little down on what's going on there.
Yeah, I'm interested. Please do. Those furry conventions.
Yeah.
People dress up like chipmunks and then bang each other.
Whoa. We have a lot of fun. Don't knock it. It's a lot of fun. You meet some interesting people. You know, I had sort of a weird furry type experience, you know, down in front of the Chinese Theater there on Hollywood Boulevard where they have the, you know, your favorite characters from films and television.
Sure.
There's a SpongeBob guy.
Oh, really?
Kind of a grungy...
Yeah, it's always sad because Aquaman is just wearing yellow sweats and he's got a load in his pants and it's weird. Is there anything sadder than a superhero in a sort of effed up thing with a lot of dingleberries and stuff on it where the guy's not really
like
filling it out?
Superhero.
He's wearing a fanny pack and he's smoking. It's a disaster. Well, he's not wearing the real boots. He's just got street shoes with
like
the weird
Tom McCann's
vinyl spat thing. Right. Around
like a Santa Claus costume that you buy at Walgreens,
right.
You know the fake boot toppers.
Right.
Yeah,
I tell you, that stuff needs to be sanctioned.
Well, I walked by the SpongeBob guy. It was kind of my wife and kid and I. We're walking down. We're seeing something at the Kodak or something, and the SpongeBob guy kind of. I'm like, oh my god, he seems to be coming over here. But you know, right. I'm a voiceover guy. There's no way.
Right.
He probably can't even see out of that costume, let alone recognize me, who am not even an on-camera person, really. You know, and he just. Got closer and closer, and it was kind of creepy. And he was it was obvious that he was following us.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sidled up to me and, like, right through, like, the nose of the costume, which is where his mouth was inside it, said, "I know who you are."
Wow.
I know who you are.
Wow.
It was just. I still think about it.
It probably feels like you need to be eliminated.
Yeah,
so
you know,
the real SpongeBob could take over.
Exactly. Well, sometimes at 4 in the morning, I still wake up screaming
Serial
with
killer.
That memory. Just,
yeah.
I know who you are.
I used to, I almost took a job in the early 90s with a place called Party Pals, where you had to dress up as like Ninja Turtles and stuff and go to kids' parties.
Oh.
And $50 a pop, you know, you go to the kids' party and dance around like one of the turtles for a couple hours.
Yeah,
and,
those people earn their money, man.
They had this awesome rule where you had to put the turtle head on before, you know, block away, because they couldn't see you pulling up holding the turtle head under your arm.
Yeah.
You had to figure out how to drive the car with the turtle head on for the last two blocks. It was a disaster.
What was the deal killer?
The deal, what ended up happening, well, the deal killer for me is my buddy Paul was going to an audition for Party Pals. And you could have been, you know, you could have been Batman. You could have been one of the Ninja Turtles. Now I'm sure you'd be SpongeBob. And they take these poor out-of-work actors, and they pay them $50 to go to a kid's party. But you got to go, like, pick up the uniform and swab it out and then return it. And it's like... But to an actor, it's like, well, I'm not slinging hash and I'm not digging ditches. This is kind of an acting gig, you know. I'm entertaining at a party.
Yeah.
So I was like, where are you going? He said, I'm going down to audition for this Party Pals thing. So I was like, all right, I'll go with you. So we went down to this little room in Encino, and we all showed up, and it's like the super serious guy. Like, look, not all your Party Pal material, and we're going to separate the weed from the chaff. You know, it's like, listen, Dillweed, I didn't want to be here. So we did that stupid improv game.
No.
That stupid, well, they wanted to see if you could think on your feet. And there's this horrible improv game where it's like you start a machine. Just a machine that's like at the beginning of a conveyor belt, and then people sort of attach themselves to. So you're like, oop, bop, oop, bop, and the other person comes in, before you know it, 12 people have joined in to create some sort of weird mechanical machine that all feeds off the last guy. So I'm just sitting there, and it's like, here's your biggest nightmare. You don't want to go first in the retarded machine thing because you're standing for 20 minutes going, oompa.
You don't want to be the on switch of the machine.
Right. If you go last, you're up there for 8 seconds and they immediately break, you know. So naturally, I'm like, please, Christ, please, God, no, please, no. Adam, you want to step up here? Come on up here. So I'm standing up there in front of 12 equally miserable people. It's like, you want to start your machine thing? And I'm like, I didn't even want to be here. I didn't know what I'm doing. So I start doing like a stupid sort of half-hearted physical motion, like, all right. But I'm not making any sound, and I'm just standing up there for like 10 minutes. I'm just doing a thing. And I said to the guy, you want me to make a sound? And he goes, it'd be nice.
Now, at that time, did you know that you were a Party Pal washout, that it just wasn't going to happen?
I was like...
Your dream was escaping you?
What happened was I went through the audition. Thank God the whole machine thing got cut short when some chick decided to get creative and get under a table and start doing something, whacked her head on the metal bar underneath the table.
Thank God for head injuries.
In her forehead, and the whole machine ground. They stopped the conveyor belt.
Yeah, that's big investigation.
So they actually called me, and I just thought, you know what? I'm a carpenter. Yeah. I have a skill with dignity I can fall back on, and I let my buddy.
I hired a C-3PO guy for my kid's party a couple of years, and it was when Star Wars was kind of at a low ebb, you know. So you could tell that the C-3PO, it was dusty, like it literally had dust on it, like the guy hadn't busted it out in a while, and then he pulled up in like a Datsun or something, and asked me to come and help him into the costume, which he hadn't worn in a while, so he was a little portlier than the last time he wore the costume. Obviously, he's going, and he goes, could you pull it tight? Oh, okay. I'm out in front of my house. And he's going, ow, ow, ow. I said, sorry, am I hurting you? No, that's okay. Tighter. Pull it tighter.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're involved in this weird S&M thing that's happening out in front of your house, in front of your neighbors. And no matter what the character is, they do magic tricks.
Right.
And balloon animals.
That's the way
so
it
there's
works.
Something so weird about a robot that comes in playing the Star Wars theme on a boombox that the robot himself is holding.
So sad.
And he's the robot that makes balloon animals and does magic tricks.
You had to learn unholy marriage. To be a Party Pal. I can only imagine, like, Mrs. Kravitz, who lived across the street, looking out the window, honey, Tom is raping a robot.
Exactly.
All right, Tom Kenny here tonight. Yeah. What happened to that sitcom convention where they had that thing where the husband read the newspaper and wouldn't believe all the crazy things that the nosy wife was when she'd look out the kitchen? Well, come here, honey. Yeah, sure, Doris. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Dr. Bruce here filling in for Dr. Drew, and we'll be right back after this. I want to hear the...
Why quiet. Is it...
Quiet. Hey, everyone.
Hey!
It's Loveline.
Right.
Yeah.
Ah.
Little Green
Acres. The great Vic Mizzy.
Tom McKinney's
and a clavinet.
How much he loves Green Acres.
The best show ever. And great score, right? Listen to that Vic Mizzy score. And you never hear a clavinet anymore, like that weird instrument that goes, wow, 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 wow.
Right. Now it's been replaced by Kenny G's Wuss Sax.
Oh.
I still, the SpongeBob theme is the greatest.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's you know.
Is that on a ukulele?
A public domain sea shanty with a, ukulele and traditional Hawaiian lap steel.
Oh, I love those things.
Yeah, like a steel guitar.
Steel guitar.
Let's burn through a couple of more calls. Bruce in for Drew. Becky?
Yes.
18?
Yes.
What's up?
I'm kind of in a situation where I have this boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But he lives with his grandparents, but his ex-girlfriend, who he was with for about 4 years, she lives with his parents. And it's very weird because about like last year around the
All right, hold on. Let me sort this out.
He lives with his grandparents?
Yes.
And the girlfriend that he used to see lives with his parents?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not weird.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Well,
why doesn't he live with his parents?
Because he got kicked out because he wasn't getting along with his sister.
Yeah.
But it's just weird because
nobody gets along with their sister.
This could,
Okay, so it's a very chaotic family.
Okay, listen. That's all we need to hear, by the way, to know. Just to picture what chaos is going on in this family. But Becky, and this is your boyfriend.
Yes, this is my boyfriend.
All right.
But they liked his ex-girlfriend enough that they kept her.
Yeah.
Kicked their own kid out.
Becky, please do me a favor and do not exit or enter the vehicle for at least 15 seconds, please, for the love of Christ, by the way. Is this guy sounds like a troublemaker. Is he?
No, he's not a troublemaker. I don't know why he got kicked out of his house. His parents needed money, basically, for rent.
Right, all right. So he's an A student who's bound for Brown University. Where's he going? How old is he?
He's 21 and he goes to Rio Hondo College.
Rio Hondo.
Yes.
Junior college named after a John Wayne movie. What could be worse?
That's pretty bad.
And by the way, what's he think he's doing over at Rio Hondo?
He's supposed to be taking psychology and philosophy.
Right. He's going to be there forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
Right.
But this, my question is basically like last year on October, I was seeing him too, but then he stopped seeing me to see this girlfriend that lives with his parents now. Not his girlfriend, but his ex. But stopped seeing me for her. And then that's when he moved into his parents' house. But she still lives there and he's not with her anymore.
But when he starts seeing his ex-girlfriend again? She becomes his girlfriend. The ex goes away.
Right. And then you get the ex.
She's in active mode.
Yeah. Right. She's been activated. So here's the thing, Becky. You're 18. You sound like you got more on the ball than this guy. He's going to junior college. He will be there forever. So what's your plan? Do you really want to be with this guy?
No.
And what are you doing? You're 18. Are you graduating high school?
Yeah, I already graduated.
And what's the plan?
I was planning to go to college too, but I'm also going to go to junior college. But
right.
I'm just in a situation where...
You're in a situation. Why would you stay with somebody?
By the way, hold on. Let me just say this. I'll hold your ears, Engineer Chris, who's I don't know, who's 29 and still going to junior college. Please hold your ears.
It's good times, man.
No, he's not 29.
Look, all people who are planning on going to junior college, why don't you save yourself some time, hit yourself on the head with a frying pan or an iron skillet, and throw yourself into the La Brea tar pits? is a much more fruitful activity. If you just want to, if you just want to fester somewhere for 10 years and not get anywhere, why don't you do it over on a, in a beautiful setting over on the Miracle Mile there in Wilshire?
Okay, and then what
you
about
just dump yourself into a pit filled with tar, or do you really have to just hang out with stoners who couldn't cut it in college?
But Becky's chasing this guy who intermittently dumps her, and yeah, she's wondering why.
Becky, you need to find you need to get a job. What are you into? What do you like? Hair, nails? What are you into?
Well, I wanted to go to cosmetology school.
That's what you need to do.
Okay, so Becky, you're in a relationship that's abusive by definition. Okay?
Like, go to,
you got
to
get out of this, and you got to find out why you're attracted to a guy.
Go to beauty school and forget this guy. Is your dad not around?
No, I never met my dad.
Shocking. So there, this guy becomes your dad. And how about your mom? Just a cavalcade of crappy boyfriends?
I actually don't know my mom either. I live with my grandma.
Okay, have you gone to therapy? Have you gone to a counselor just to talk over what you're doing? Because you're making choices that are going to ruin the rest of your life. You're not ready to pick a guy. You're not ready to... And this guy is just going to be a disaster.
You need to get away from straight men for a while. So I think cosmetology school is the perfect joint to hide out in.
And
there's wisdom in that advice.
Becky, I'm going to go on a limb here, but I'm almost never wrong. Junior college... abusive boyfriend, doesn't know either parent, living with grandparents. You're Jewish, aren't you, Becky?
No, I'm not Jewish.
Oh, I tell you, I'm 100.
Adam's never wrong.
Darn it. I'm never wrong on this one.
Next time for sure.
Wow. Wow. Knock me over with a feather. All right, well, Asian?
No, I'm Hispanic.
I can't believe it.
There goes a listener.
It defies the numbers. I just got to go back and recalibrate. Everything I know is wrong.
See?
Everything I know. Becky, forget about this junior college. You go to beauty school and forget about this guy, all right? And don't get pregnant. And your parents were drug addicts. That doesn't mean you're not worth loving. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So, Becky, do you understand that just picking this guy indicates you, there's a severe problem here?
That's enough. Look, so her parents both abandoned her.
Right.
She's got to get some therapy.
Needs therapy.
Forget junior college. Forget about it. When I'm in charge, we're just going to turn them into prisons. And I'm not even going to move out the populace of the college. They'll be in.
What about the junior colleges that advertise a high rate of transfer to UCLA?
High rate is 4%.
Well, junior college, isn't that just like, I'm not ready for senior year to end yet.
Right.
I want to go through my senior year for a few more years.
I don't want to work. I don't want my stepmom to kick me out of the house. I'm going to go waste away in junior college for a few years and do nothing. Please.
Well, I figure out my plan.
Who are you kidding yourself? The reason you guys aren't in regular college is because you're horrible students. You think that's going to change when you go to junior college?
No.
You're wasting your time.
Did you know the guys that they go through, get loaded for a couple years, get a 2.0 average, and then not tell the next college they went to that they'd been in junior college partying?
All I'm saying is we act like we're doing everyone a favor, and we applaud. I'm the only one who ever yells at anyone to get the F out of junior college, stop wasting my tax money. Mm. Everyone's like, oh, you're going to college. That's wonderful. No, it's not.
No. Junior college ain't college.
Get out of there. She's 29. Still going to junior college. Get out.
I turned off
the
headphones.
It's an abyss. All right.
Huh?
Let's take ourselves a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah. Great Tom Kenny, everybody. What a thinker. He's risen. He went from SpongeBob to Socrates in like the last 3 minutes because he agreed with me.
SpongeBob. My 5-year-old's still waiting for you to say hi to him.
Say hi to him.
JoJo.
Go to bed, JoJo. Go to bed.
JoJo is...
You guys say happy birthday to Libby, too.
Oh, to who?
Libby.
Happy birthday, Libby.
Good. Now their minds have been perverted.
Libby's 44.
All right.
Yeah, should just say Sweet. The normal voice.
She's like the character that Rosie O'Donnell played in that made-for-TV movie.
That's
how
right.
How dare you.
She's kind of sitting on the park bench. How old is Libby, really?
She turns 9 in 1 minute.
All right. 1 minute to go. It's a countdown, Libby.
All right.
Sorry to compare you to...
I'm going to go find
him. Yeah, Adam's
all right, Tom Kenny, everyone.
What
a guess. Lucha Vavoom,
what a show. We got the Human Tornado. We got Chilango. It's an unbelievable couple of nights of wrestling and burlesque action. We got a Rochica. We got, there's too many. There's too much to mention. You got the paper there, Adam.
All right, show's over. So until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Bruce saying mahalo.
Worship the cloven hoofed friends of darkness.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.